You know, the challenge for the Nigerian generation is to walk into that same market. And people will say, no, you won't survive here. He said, watch me survive. No, you won't survive. You don't do it. He said, just watch me. And the first year, it will appear as if you are not surviving. The second year, it might appear as if you are not surviving. For a length of time, it will appear as if you are not surviving. Then when, you see, so many things to share. There is what the Bible calls the fullness of time. Now listen, there is what the Bible calls the fullness of the iniquity of the Amalekites. There is what the Bible calls the fullness of the prayer of the saints. Listen to me, just like iniquity can be full, righteousness also can be full. That is when you have suffered enough because of righteousness, God will now arise. Say, arise, O God, and let thy enemies be scattered. You have to understand the meaning of that word. God doesn't have any personal enemy that can go and fight him in heaven. So when he arises, who's scattering up there? What he's talking about are people who are down here. That is, a man is in business. Listen to what I'm saying. And he is doing righteously. He will import good drugs. The people who are doing the bad ones, we come and make sure he can't sell. God said, you know why I allow that to happen to you? I am testing the righteousness of your heart so that I can do you good at the end. Then one day, a kind of prayer will rise up. And the man will say, God, how long will you withhold your hands? He said, arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Then suddenly, God will arise like a drunken soldier. Listen to me. And he starts shooting anyhow. The men are dropping down dead. One dollar, we wake up somewhere and burn up some drugs. Are you getting my point? Then people become fugitives. Then suddenly, the man who stood through all those trying times because of righteousness, when his enemies seem to be prospering, suddenly, there's this rapidity of prosperity that will come upon him that generations after him might know that righteousness is good. Please, are you understanding the point I'm making here? What God is doing, listen, is to test the heart of a man and see whether he's willing to wait for the time of God. Satan is the one that will tell somebody, do this now, I give you now. No. As I'm talking now, just bow. Hey, waiting. This is your, why do you have to suffer? Jesus said, don't worry. There is a way of getting it, which is the righteousness of God. We go through the cross. Then after that, what we gain, the Bible says, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign for how long? You are getting what I'm saying? You are getting what I'm saying? That is what brings forth enduring prosperity into the lives of people. Listen, God allows challenges. Listen, there's nobody, listen, anywhere you go in the world, Nigerians make me laugh. Nigeria is not a country you run away from because of trials. No. It's a country that is in a kind of situation, if you understand spiritual things, that is a kind of place people run to invest their lives. Listen, there's no easy success anywhere. God tries you first as gold is tried in the furnace of what? Affliction. Do you get my point? That's how God tries people. Then at the end of the day, when they have been tested, like Miles Monroe will say, God will stand upon them. You know, tested. You know what that means? I listened to that Miles Monroe message long ago. He said, what God is doing actually, he said, when a Roman soldier, you know, goes into battle, he has just one major weapon in his hand, his sword. That sword must be able to withstand everything. It mustn't break. If it breaks while he's fighting, he's gone. So before they send the soldier out to battle, first thing is that they do what they call tempting the sword. That word tempt in the New Testament is used for the Roman soldier's sword. That is, they test it, put into into their hot furnace, then put into cold water, put into hot furnace, beat the weak areas, beat the sword. When they are finished, they put a stamp on it which says tempted. You know, you see this, you buy equipment, they say tested, okay. Do you understand my point? God tests people like that before he gives them anything. Otherwise, they will die in battle. We've shared before that the Bible talks about the weight of glory. Blessing is a weight. You have to be able to carry it. Do you hear what I said? Blessing is what? A weight. You have to be able to carry it. Oh, why did I even get there? So the last day that we spoke along this line, we talked about building inner capacity. Now, what I want to end the whole series with today, just briefly for the time I have left, is what I called patient endurance. Well, let's read a few scriptures. Before we read it, let me explain some principles. There is nothing good that has blessed mankind on this earth that did not come from the heart of God. Do you understand my point? It is God that gives revelation on the things that will bless humanity. Satan has never created. He does not have the ability. It's not like as if God is angry with him. God did not make him a creator. Do you understand my point? Listen, if you go and read Elihu, Elihu said that no one says, "Where is God my maker? Who makes us wiser than the beasts of the field?" Listen, if you do not have wisdom given by God, you will live like an animal, living by your instincts. Animals don't create anything. You know that? They can't. The ability to create is something that is a godly nature that God gives to mankind as an inspiration. Listen, God does not always say, my son, thou shalt manufacture a car." No. What he does is that he gives a young man an idea. He gives a scientist an idea, and the man starts walking towards and starts. God starts giving him illumination. I read an article some time ago. There's this prize called Templeton Prize. The man Templeton is a man who believed that there is a position where spiritual things and scientific things merge. So he gives a prize, like a Nobel Prize, annually to somebody who has done something to demonstrate that. Do you understand my point? Now, one man who got that Templeton Prize, I don't know why I keep on forgetting his name when I want to quote him. The man is the one who invented, with a co-worker, the laser beam that we use today. You know the laser beam? You know the laser, all right? Now, that laser is used everywhere. Now, used in medicine. In fact, it's used in science. It's used. This computer has a laser reader inside. Your CD burner uses laser. Laser everywhere, everything. We use laser for surgery, laser for welding. They use laser for virtually everything now. Now, the man won the prize. Why? Because he said that one day he was sitting in the park, and he had what the Englishman would call an epiphany, that his inspiration just came. And he just knew that something like that was possible. And he went straight to the lab and began to work. A few years later, the laser concept was out. And then he said that for him, there's no difference between how he got that idea and how a prophet gets, thus says the Lord. Do you get the point? That was why they gave him that prize. That the man has brought another proof that what Mr. Templeton believed in is working. And it's true. All of us know Isaac Newton, right? We heard of Isaac Newton. You know the interesting part? In his days, the major job Isaac Newton did was teach the Bible. You know, it's very funny. Isaac Newton was a theologian. And secondarily, a physicist. Most of his publications were theological publications, not physics. He sits under a tree and he saw an apple fall. Listen, apples were falling all over the world. You know that? Apples were falling here and there. What happened? Nothing happened. Are you getting my point? Yet, one day it fell in front of one man and the spirit in him. He said, "There is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding." That spirit in him kindled something and the man suddenly had his idea and that was the beginning of it. What is his name? Albert Einstein. He was a Jew. He believes very, very strongly in God. That's why he says, God does not play dice with the universe. People have misunderstood that expression. They think the man was saying that these Christians, they don't know what they are saying. No. The man was saying that this universe is well structured. It was well ordered by God. Therefore, if something appears out of place, we need to research and find out exactly what is happening. That's what he meant. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, he believes so much in the fact that God created things. In fact, there was one quotation one of my doctors gave me about him from his mouth. He said, Albert Einstein used to say, "I don't want to be right. I only want to know whether I am right." You are getting the point? They said, no, I want to know whether what I have discovered about the works of God, whether they are correct. I'm using my own words now. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. First heard this from people like E.W. Kenyon on those days, that the ability to invent is a God-given ability and it manifests when there is eternal life present. Are you getting the point I'm making? There's a reason why I'm saying all of this. Now, when God wants to bless mankind, introduce something into the earth, it doesn't have to be an invention, it can be an idea. how we should run business, how we should do accounting. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is an idea. Now, the way he does it is that he must give it flesh, and that flesh is always somebody. Are you following me? Now, this is why I'm talking about patient endurance. When the person wants to introduce it, those who were there before will always say, no, it does not work. And listen, God doesn't expect to be fighting those who were there before. Paul said, I did not come to you with what? Excellency of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. That is what convinces people is that you eventually show to them that it works. Now, there's something I'm trying to bring out in here, talking about enduring success. Now, God always gives ideas. Listen to this. And when God wants to birth a new idea into life, this is what happens. He gives it to somebody. Now, a man who really does not believe in it will not stand the test of time. And listen, the ideas that have died, not because the ideas were not good, but because people were not firmly planted. Are you getting my point? They were not patient enough to let the thing work, so they left it, and that's it. Somebody has probably bought it, or somebody else, or the whole thing died. Then God will have to wait for another generation to birth the thing. Please, I'm bringing out some of the other things I'm saying. In every difficult situation, there's a new idea God wants to bring out for you to handle it. Listen, let's read a few scriptures. Open to Genesis chapter 41. The story I want to read here is a story we know very well. Pharaoh dreamt a dream. There was a problem. Who was going to interpret it? And let me say that to you again. Anytime there is a challenge in life, it's God's opportunity to distinguish somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Problems in life are the opportunities that God has given you to be distinguished. Listen, you know, we say, I am the head, I'm not the tail. You understand my point? Listen, it's not a matter of mouth. It's a matter of attitude in life. Please, are you getting the point I'm making? It's not a matter of what? Mouth. It's a matter of life's attitude, how you live life. There is what the Bible calls a double-minded man who does not receive anything from the hand of God. Do you know what that means? It means he says one thing, but he does another. I know why I'm saying this. When there are challenges, this is a heady attitude. You know, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. This is the head attitude. The head looks at what can we do about this, and we go out to do it. The tail looks and says, this country is terrible. Let me look for where there are no challenges so that I can go and eat there and settle down. Then on his way to that place, he says, I am the head and not the tail. God says, look at you. You are a very big tail. You are just, look at the no, you know what tails are? You know what a tail is? That thing that the dog wags to and fro. So when life is throwing you up and down, what are you? You are a tail. No matter how much you shout, everybody put up your hands, I am the head. Maybe you come for a seminar like our own. I say, power words. I am the head. You say, I am the head. And once life is wagging you, you are a tail. You are getting the principle? When you are running up and down because of difficulty, you are a tail. When you are not willing to face anything in life, listen, what makes your success enduring? Listen, when David was going to be crowned king, God arranged three difficult situations, major situations to elevate him to prominence. One, the lion. Two, the bear. And last of all, Goliath. God said, I know this guy, he won't turn back. Goliath, that is, lion can't kill him. Bear won't kill him. Then those two experiences, I've used it to teach him not to run away from Goliath. After Goliath, Saul could throw all the javelins he wanted. David said, this throne is my own. I won't take it from you by force, but it's my own. Please, are you getting the principle I'm going to say? This is a heady attitude that I look at challenges and I face them. Do you get my point? Listen, the power that God has deposited inside his child does not ever become manifested until pressure is placed upon that person. Do you get what I'm saying? I said something during the seminar and I still mean it. Just David did not go around looking for the bear's trouble or the lion's trouble. It was the lion that came looking for David's trouble. And David said, you asked for it. That is, he started it, not me. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He started it. That is, the challenge was thrust upon him, yet the man responded. Listen to me. There is something that God has placed inside you, and only pressure can squeeze it out. You are following my point? Let's go on with what we are reading. So Pharaoh had a problem, and they now called Joseph. If you read from verse 15, he said to Joseph, I had a dream, but no one can interpret. And then if I might paraphrase verse 16, he said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I'm adding my own words. What he said is that it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer, of course, through my mouth, me, Joseph. Then Pharaoh narrated the dream. Please, I'm not reading everything. We don't have all the time. Then when Pharaoh had narrated his dream, please listen to what Joseph now said. Joseph interpreted the dream. Now, I want to read from 33. After he had interpreted the dream, please, from 33, I want you to notice something. 33 was not part of the interpretation. Interpretation stopped in verse 33. 32. He said, now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God and God will quickly bring it about. That is the end of the interpretation. Verse 33 is counsel in the heart of a man. Are you getting what I'm saying? He now came up with that. He said, now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather up all the food of those good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? He says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Now, I want you to notice something here. When God was going to set this man up, what did he do? He first brought forth a problem. Are you getting my point? What brought that problem? We don't know for sure. But we know that that was God's handiwork, either as a result of anything that happened in the land. Now, his mercy was placed in the heart of Joseph for the people. Are you getting my point? That is, he now brought up a solution for the problems of the people. And that was what God used to bring him up to prominence. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That solution was in the heart of somebody. Every problem in life till today, the solution is it's in somebody's heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? That thing is what is called wisdom. We read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It said there is what is called wisdom for salvation. Let's quickly read that one again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 14 says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scripture writings or holy scriptures, which are able to give you this wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. One expression I want to bring out from there is that word wisdom that leads to salvation. Please listen to this. Salvation does not mean I now go to church. Are you getting my point? Salvation means that God has sent me deliverance from my problems. Do you understand my point? Now, when we're talking about salvation, what it means is that there is a problem in life that God has called somebody to solve. One day I was listening to Pat Robertson on TV. And someone asked him how he could make money and all that. Pat Robertson said, you don't just go out in life to make money. You must be giving something to somebody. Then they will give you money back. Are you following my point? Everywhere that people gathered money without giving something to somebody, they are corrupt people. Let me say this again. The proper order for becoming wealthy in life is to give out to somebody. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. There's a spiritual principle there, but there's also a natural principle there. Create Microsoft Windows and become the richest man in the world. That's just it's a principle. Make computers cheap for everybody to acquire one. Maybe your name is Michael Dell and you'll be a billionaire before you are 40. Are you getting my principle? It is the man that gives that becomes wealthy. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. Are you getting the point of this is I'm saying? That is, in life, there is always a challenge that God kept for you to solve. Do you understand my point? The Bible says that he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. There was something we heard again on radio, I think it was last Monday, when I talked about, for those of you listening to it, I talked about sin. Now, there I was explaining something that what sin does to people. Now, sin is not like God is angry. God is angry. God will judge you. No, God will catch you. That is not what sin is. You know what sin is? Sin is that thing that makes it impossible for you to tap into wisdom that will make you successful in life. Sin is the disease that kills spiritual sensitivity. It's not as if God is angry. God is angry. Listen, a man, a woman who walks in iniquity cannot prosper. Not because God is angry, but because he will not be able to tap into wisdom that will give him creativity. Do you get my point? Listen, if Joseph had been sleeping with Mrs. Potiphar, do you understand what I'm saying? What would have happened to him is that when they give him dreams, he will not be able to interpret. Are you getting my point? A lot of people, especially in my dear beloved country, Nigeria, who have made money corruptly, it has prevented them from downloading serious substances onto the earth. They would have created companies, but somebody had baited them away with cheap government money. Listen, everybody that goes out looking for cheap money, pursuing contract, doing this one, and what happens is that the inherent ability that God placed in them to create something on this earth, they lose it. Are you getting my point? No, it is not as if God is angry with you. You see, for this, I'm going to show you, Pepe. I'll show you that I'm the God. I can punish sin. That's not the issue. The issue is that when the man is not walking uprightly, the wisdom that God had hidden for him, he can't tap into it. Please, are you following the point I'm making? Are you following the point I'm making? What will make you successful enduringly in life is that wisdom that God has put in your heart, which is called the wisdom for your salvation. That is, when Pharaoh has a problem, God will organize that they will send for you. If you have been walking uprightly, you will be able to interpret his dream. And after interpreting his dream, you will have counsel in the heart of the godly man that will bring a solution to Pharaoh's problem. And Pharaoh will say, be my prime minister. But if you have been walking in iniquity, if they bring you to come and interpret the dream, you will interpret it wrongly. And when you have interpreted it wrongly, you will say, oh God, I don't try. And they go. And Pharaoh will now get up and say, hey, now let's even assume you interpreted it correctly. He said, what can we do? What can we do? Hey, let us pray. Let us pray. Let's sacrifice to the gods. Maybe they will not punish us like this. Joseph will have gone back most likely to prison. Or they will say, okay, for helping the Pharaoh, pardon, go back to your father's house. Let me say this to make your heart come home properly. There were many Josephs you never read about. Listen, in every generation, many are always called. And few are always chosen. You don't think it's only in our generation. It's in the days of Joseph. For every Joseph you saw that answered the call, there were many you never read about. Because God doesn't compile the stories of failures. What are you doing with stories of failures? So this Bible will show you all the people that have failed in this life. And you to be kind and be reading. I told you before, look, one day I went to a bookshop and saw a book. They say, childless but not less. I did that to the author, you know. One can shake it. How can you be writing that kind of book that a young married man like me should be reading, giving excuses for Satan? If you never heard me preach that thing before, that's what I call excuses for Satan. You start agreeing with Satan to keep you in bondage. He said, if you are childless, doesn't mean you are less. I know, but I want to be childful. You get my point? Don't help me explain away my blessing. I don't want it. I don't read a story about failures. Thank you very much. I don't want. I want encouragement from the heart of God. You get my point? I want to be enlarged and lifted. I want to expect great things. Faith always expects something from the God hands of God. So God doesn't compile all those stories. A friend gave me a book once. I know, I saw it with a friend. Let me see whether I can read. I saw how a man... No. I read the book. How the man died with his AIDS and he was dying rejoicing. I said, I better carry go. What kind of rubbish book is that? What if he had died crying? What difference will he make? So he died rejoicing. Now get away, my friend. She now said, I know. You want to hear that he was healed? I said, yes, that's why I'm a Christian. You want me to be saying that? No, that's not what I mean. No, that's what I mean. No. That's what I mean. Say, you want to read that he was not healed at the end of the day. I say, yes. That's what is called the hope of salvation. What is wrong with you? When Jesus came, did he come to give them how to die smiling? What kind of rubbish is that one? When our iniquity has withered down the power of God in our lives, we start explaining it away.
That's how the church started saying the age of miracles have passed. When they were, the ecumenism in them had removed all the powers they had. They started making excuses for the fact that there were no miracles in their midst again. Plague will come, kill Muslims, kill Hindus, kill Christians the same way. And they say, why? They say, it is in paradise we will enjoy only. You know, you are lying. Now, what am I going to explain? There were many people that God also called, and they never manifested the power of God, so you never read their stories. I'm not interested in reading the stories of failures. How much more God writing them? You are getting my point. Listen to me, child of God. What I'm talking about, enduring success, is that God has given you one wisdom for salvation. One wisdom that is not only for your salvation. Let me tell you something about this. We help you. Maybe one will go into that matter of walking the Spirit. I will discuss this further. There is nothing that God wants to bring to this earth that's only for you. If anybody ever tells that use this principle to make you rich, the person is lying to you. Are you getting my point? The principles that really make you rich in life, God does not tell you to make you rich. What he does is that he will tell you how to bless people. And when your heart goes towards the blessing of other people, then you become wealthy in the process. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is a wisdom that God has placed in your heart. It will only be brought out in the time of pressure, in the time of difficulty. And usually not just your own difficulty, and maybe not even yours at all, but that of those who are around you. Do you get what I'm saying? That is the power of the Christian. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the gospel that Christians are supposed to preach. That look, you guys have these problems. God has placed in me a light. If you follow what I am saying, this problem will be solved. That was what Joseph told Pharaoh. He said, a problem is coming. If you do as I say, the problem will be solved. You know what we all do as Christians these days? We are looking for personal breakthrough. Once I was in church and one man was speaking. I've given that here a number of times as examples. The man said, hey, I'm prospering. Last week, I gave us my car. Now I have to. See, the world is working. I gave her this last week. Somebody now said that now they are going to make new furniture for my house. Hey, the word is working. I was looking at him. Like, if to say I get, you know, this horse whip, I will whip you from where I did. So you will jump down from that poopy, sharp, sharp. That is the gospel of unrighteousness. Only blessing you. What God preached to Abraham is that in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. No testimonies I like. Last week I was in church on Wednesday, and one brother in church, he's doing consultancy work for Human Rights, the Human Rights Commission, which is actually a federal government agency. But you know the way it is? What they are doing is enlightening young people on how a policeman cannot treat you. Do you understand? He said, people say it won't work. Look at testimony. These are the kind of testimony I like to hear. He said, he showed them after he built 20 people without paying any policeman a dime. They started listening to him. Now, please, you get my point. He told me something. He said that I didn't start this today. He said 15 years ago, a general in Nigerian army resigned because he locked me up for 3 days. He said, when the guy said, lock that bagger up. He said, I told him, lock this bagger up. He's the last bagger you'll ever lock up. And listen, he was the last bagger that guy ever locked up. When he finished, there's this one. I said, sir, I will be praying for you. And I mean it. Utter words, say words to God, say words to the air about that man. Look, I was sharing something with my wife. I heard it from my pastor yesterday on radio, like on tape. He said, when you are carrying the seed of God, you enter into the divine protection plan. That God knows what you are carrying is precious. So he guards you. When he said, the scriptures started jumping into my head. He said, he suffered no man to do them wrong when they were going from place to place, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. The people that God said those things about, not those who have answered the altar call, I am now a child of God. Those are not the things we are talking about. They are those who are bringing out the wisdom for the salvation of mankind from their hearts. God will ensure they never die. One of the men who invented, I don't know whether it's Salk or Sabin. Now, polio, can be eradicated. The major reason why polio has not been eradicated in the world is because it's difficult to get, like now, the other day they wanted to vaccinate in Kano. People were refusing to take vaccines. Otherwise, polio can be eradicated. Now, the men who worked on polio vaccine, one of them, there are two of them, Salk and Sabin. I don't know which one exactly I'm talking about now. But there was a time, policemen were guarding him every day. Why? He was a scientist about to bring the cure to this deadly disease called polio. And the government realized that one stupid boy will go and kidnap him one day and be asking for ransom and may mistakenly kill him in the process. So they started protecting him. If human beings can do that, how much more God? Do you understand my point? That is inside you dwell the wisdom for somebody's salvation. It's all giving testimony of now. I trust God for great things in my life. I know that absolutely. But what really blesses my heart? With this seminar last time, one young man said he came from Umuahia here. I said, were you here the day before? He said, yes. Will you be around tomorrow? He said, yes. So you came from Umuahia here to come and hear the word for 3 days. He didn't come to for football. Man U is not playing Chelsea. Those are the testimonies I was sharing with my friends. Do you understand the point I'm making? You want your life, if you want enduring success, then make your dream that of your life counting in the lives of other people. Wake up in the morning and say, how can I be a blessing to other people? Listen, what God gives to you is what? Wisdom for salvation. The day you stop thinking about yourself first, you will never be poor again. Let me say it to you again. If you wake up in the morning and say, God is not just me, I must affect my generation. Listen to me, you will never be poor in this life, I'm telling you. God rewards his servants, not his sons. I have read my Bible very well. You know, I grew up in the World of Faith movement where he said that we are sons of God, not servants. I found out that it was true, but God had never laid emphasis on being sons. His emphasis have always been on what? Servants. He said, I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. The difference between the prodigal son and the other son was that the other son was a serving son. He said, all these days I have served thee, neither did I transgress any of your commandments. And the father said, all that I have is yours. For a long time, I tried to explain away Isaiah chapter 54. That you see really, verse 17, that it's not really, you know, it's because it was Old Testament, forget rubbish. It is the truth. Isaiah said, this is the heritage of the servants of God. I tried to reread it to mean heritage of the sons of God. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. He said, this is the heritage of what? Servants of God. He never says the heritage of the sons. I found out. That is men who wake up and say, what is the wisdom for the salvation of other people that God has placed in my heart? Listen, God is bringing it out of you many ways. By challenges in life. That man I told you I was talking about, who is championing that human rights movement in this part of the country, he said a general locked him up. And he told the general, sir, if you lock me up, I will be the last bagger you will ever lock up. Listen, if you don't go through challenges, there's no strength built into you. They take your light, you are convulsing, as if your grandfather ever saw NEPA. Your car enter one small code. You say, in America, there's no pothole. There's no pothole. As if somebody went to heaven and brought the pothole and laid it down for them. The smooth route. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to succeed enduringly in life? Tap into the wisdom for the salvation of somebody. And the day, you know, I preached a sermon some time ago. And you know, I think we have it here. Remember for this. The Bible said, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. I said it was remarkable that a Pharaoh did not know Joseph. As small as the Bible is, it was written for a whole line that there was a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. You don't get my point. That it was something to be eternally remembered that one man rose up not knowing Joseph. Now, for generations, Pharaohs knew Joseph. Are you getting my point? One Pharaoh will come, another will go, another will come, and they will know Joseph. Then one Pharaoh came and said, well, what do you mean, Joseph? Joseph, so what? That is, it was remarkable that it was written. It was so striking that they said if Pharaoh arose, he did not know Joseph. That is the wisdom for the salvation of Egypt. The man that brought it, you say you don't know him. Generations after, they are still cursing that Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. So the question is that why should he have known Joseph? Ask yourself every day, why would generations after be angry with a man who didn't know me? Listen, inside your heart is a wisdom for somebody's salvation. And that's the reason why you will be remembered. I hope you've learned something today. All right, let us pray then.